You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of
today,
Brevard.
On the Word of Truth Revealed.
I dealt with the problems, but I wanted a little bit more time to tie in to expectancy. Expect a move of the Spirit. Ezekiel is in chains, but he never lost his expectancy nor his hope. And because of that, God was able to speak to him about his future. And you need to expect a move of the Spirit of God, even in the form of a wheel, which represents the local church moving forward or rolling into its destiny.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Don't Resist the Move. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 10 through 15.
And I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another and the noise of the wheels in chapter 1 beside them and a great thunderous noise. Verse 14, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. Look at this. And I went in bitterness in the heart of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to the captives of Tel Abib. And dwelled by the river Kabar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. I want you to look close at the word. Glory to God. So the Spirit, verse 14, lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heart of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. In other words, the Spirit was lifting me. He's always lifting. But I didn't want to go where he was taking me. I resisted it. He's trying to carry me into another dimension, but I was bitter. I wanted to stay where I am. But his Spirit was stronger than me. Oh, my God. From the subject today in our late service, don't resist the move. I speak expressly, didactically from the Spirit of God, don't resist the move. At 8 o'clock, I shared a message called Expect a Move of the Spirit. At 11, don't resist the move. Father, I give you praise and thanks for carrying us away. But I pray now that you would touch the resistance in us when you're pushing us into dimensions where we're not in control and showing us things that are unfamiliar and taking us into a new season, into a new day. Thank you for lifting us up even by the name of Jesus. And Father, I give you praise that as I preach prophetically to your people, that you will give us an ear to hear and a mind to comprehend, hearts to receive, and a spirit to contain the rhema word that you're releasing in the name of Jesus. Have your way in this place. Save lives, save bodies, heal bodies in the name of Jesus. Transform communities, advance the kingdom even now. By the teaching, reform the mind of your people that we would not resist the move of God. In Jesus' name, amen. That's not good enough. I need everybody putting your hands together like the devil is in the midst of your hands. There's no greater name than the name of Jesus. Ah. Clap your hands. He's preparing a table before you in the midst of flies. He's anointing your head with oil and your cup will run over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all of the days of your life. Hallelujah. One more praise. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. One more praise, Truth. Truth Nation, one more praise. Greater the name than the name of Jesus. That name works. Say it works. Covers all. Delivers all. It works. This morning, I was sharing, and if I could preach this morning's message again, I would emphasize, after dealing with the puppet master and what's being released in the earth by the demonic hordes of the enemy, chaos is being released at an alarming number around the country, and the Lord spoke to us a little while ago as we entered into the top of the year, that chaos, I actually saw a creature coming out of the Atlantic with boils, putrefying sores. And I asked our church this morning to read Isaiah chapter 1. This is your assignment as well. But your emphasis is to look at the sores of the nation. And when God looks at us, he doesn't look at Mac and he doesn't look at Planet Fitness. What he looks at is the condition of your heart. Let me say it again. He doesn't look at Mary Kay, he looks at, and then look at abs. What he looks at is how, the heart you got. And I'm asking you to pray that God will show you your heart. Because a lot of people like to self-proclaim, well, I got a good heart. Well, who said so? You're going to always talk about how fine you are and how well you look. But God, man, looks on the outer appearance, man. And God has a way of looking at the heart. And he knows what's inside of us. Glory to God. He had a way of showing me my own. And it was robust, hairy, and it had a scent, a negative scent. And I'm saying it publicly because that's my heart. I can preach on my heart, the nasty part of me, the subterranean part of me, the alter ego part of me, the one that's angry man, the Hulk inside of me, the one that will not relent, the one that doesn't like to submit to the will of God, that part of me. He showed that part of me in the encounter that we had to have before I can do what he's called me to do. And anytime that part of me tries to manifest, I cast it down. Now, what do you do with yours? I'm preaching about mine. So what do you do with yours? Do you take it to Jesus, or do you coddle your own nature and say, it's just me? So before you criticize others when you see theirs, what do you ask him about yours when he reveals yours to you? What does your hands look like to God? What does your feet look like to God? What does your heart look like to God? Read Isaiah chapter 4 and then chapter 1 and then read the scripture where it says, though your sins, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet. See, in other words, I know the condition that you have, but let's reason about it. Instead of saying, this is just who I am, take that dark side of yourself to the Lord and let him work it out. Let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land or the produce of Goshen. And God wants us to be able to dine on the provision that he has sent our way. So read Isaiah chapter 1 and talk. Let God talk to you about yourself and your condition. The society is basically all of us releasing a fragrance or an offensive smell of what's going on the inside of us. That's the atmosphere of America. There are demonic hordes that are being released into our world, but you can also tie in your nature with the demonic horde. He will use it to manipulate our society and cause us to go deeper in degradation. So chapter 1 says that Ezekiel was 30 years old and he was in captivity in Babylon, but the heavens opened. And the Lord just had me to prophesy to you all, because people are waiting on their deliverance before God can really open up their mind. There's something coming now, glory to God, to expand your knowledge and your vision, to show you things that you haven't seen before about self, but also about what he has planned for you. And visions will open up to Ezekiel. Listen, he's a priest and a prophet, but he's not in Israel. He's carried captive into Babylon. He's in chains, but yet God opened things up for him. And no matter where you are right now, he loves you so much. Glory to God. He's going to open up the heavens so you can see. And if he opens up the heavens, what follows that is the opening of prosperity, the opening of salvation, salvation galore, prosperity galore, and the abundance of God coming your way. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. The scripture says, the thief cometh not, but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And I decree and declare the best life is on its way. You mean to tell me Clark hadn't experienced his best yet? No, I got some good things on the way, and I'm attracting it, glory to God. I'm calling it in the name of Jesus. I want God to open up the heavens, and I want him to speak to me and to my church and the people that he has given me jurisdiction in the spirit realm over, and a responsibility to pray for your soul, to watch out for your soul that has been damaged in the previous generation and damaged in the previous season. That I'm asking God to heal your souls, heal your mind from trauma, from insomnia, from always putting up guards anytime somebody get close to you, in fear of somebody hurting you. I'm asking him to heal you from distrust. I'm asking him to heal you from unforgiveness, because it will choke out your monies, so you can be the best that he called you to be. And the word of the Lord takes us to Ezekiel 3. And if I had to preach the early morning service, I would tie it in with expectancy. I dealt with the problems, but I wanted a little bit more time to tie in to expectancy. Expect a move of the Spirit. Ezekiel is in chains, but he never lost his expectancy nor his hope. And because of that, God was able to speak to him about his future. And you need to expect a move of the Spirit of God, even in the form of a wheel, which represents the local church moving forward or rolling into its destiny. Here in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 10, moreover, he said to me, son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I will speak to you, and hear with your ears, and go and get to the captives. In other words, you're in captivity, so you should be able to speak to the captives. And if you've ever gone through anything in your life, it should be easier for you to identify with people who are going through the same thing. What we tend to do is develop an ecclesiastical nose and act like we've never experienced desperate. But the devil is a liar. You know you used to eat chicken lips, chicken gizzards, and all of those other things, and chicken feet. And I know you can spend money on caviar now or some good steak, but don't forget where you came from. Glory to God. What's wrong with us, man? I think we got to get real with ourselves when we're dealing with the present situation here. When I look at young people, sometimes I get upset when I see them doing what they do, and then I remember when I was young. Glory to God. David said, I was young, ignorant, foolish, moving in anger, always responding with an angry tone. But now I'm a man, glory to God. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Many of us cut people off too quick, and we forgot what we came out of. And if nobody knows it, it means the Lord gave you the privilege of privacy. And that's why you should be the first one clapping your hands and lifting them up in the air, because nobody found out what you did. It's the privilege of privacy. So stop acting like you didn't get it, or because you didn't get caught that you never did it. You just didn't get caught. Glory to God, hallelujah. There are many people that stole gas, a whole tank of gas, before you had to swipe your card. Many people. I'm glad you weren't, because many, if it was up like that today with the prices up, this is when gas was at 50 cents a gallon. Many people ride up to a gas station, pump their gas. You're supposed to go in and pay and just take off. Many young people did it, and you never got caught. So get your head together when you deal with this generation. Don't give them no excuses for their foolishness, but remember when you deal with them. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I want you to go and get to the captives. Get to the captives, verse 11, to the children of your people. So whatever ethnic group you're in, you should at least be able to identify with them. And then you can cross over. Notice, go to the children of your people, that's ethnicity, and speak to them while they're in captivity, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God. Whether they hear you or whether they don't. Some people, because people have a tendency to say no, I've offered prayer to people and they say, no, I don't want you to pray. And if you're not careful, you'd be like, well, I don't have to pray for you at all. That's the response you'll give. Maybe that never happened to you. I want to say a prayer. I don't want your prayer. Oh, okay. Inside of me, that old robust, let me tell you something. I can really fix that. But guess what? God called me to prayer. That's what I'm commissioned to do. No matter what you do, just like a doctor, you may come there and you need surgery. I don't want you. You black. You can't touch me. They say, go ahead and give him some morphine. Put him out, and he won't know who touched him. Because no matter what you say, I'm here to heal you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You don't know what they do anyway until when they knock you out. You don't have a clue about who's dealing with you, looking at your private area, looking at everything in your life, scanning you, talking that noise about, wow, they so nasty. They still stitching you up, though. Bottom line with me, I don't care what you look like, where you came from, or what religion you're in. If I'm sick, I need you to help it. And some of y'all worrying about how I move. If I'm here and I got the RX, let me fix it. Even by the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the Lord God, he said, I want you to tell them whether they hear you or if they refuse. I think I'm in verse 11. Whether they hear you, look at the word, or they refuse. Guess what? Usually people that get refused have a little bit of refusal inside of them. I'm preaching now. It may not be a large mind. I'm going to show you a connection with the people refusing Ezekiel and him resisting the move of God. You resist God, you're going to experience a lot of refusal in your earth. In other words, if you resist the move of God, expect people to start moonwalking back from you. It's when you start complying to the will of God, you may see unity come into your life. Actually, when you start moving in God, You always going to have somebody to not like it. But I want to show you a tie between their refusal and your resistance. The more you yield, the easier the grace can pump into your life. To handle resistance and refusal. When you try to do it on your own, the thicker and the harder it is, it becomes a grind to live for God. Thank you, Jesus. But if you really want God to work with you, you got to learn to yield with the Lord. Yes. Glory to God. I was called to preach on a Thursday morning, and the first person I called was my mother, and I said, I believe the Lord just called me to preach. And she said, well, what did you tell him? I said, I didn't say anything. She said, tell him yes. Wow. So I said, yes, Lord. She was on the phone, and peace just flooded my soul. Listen to me. Peace flooded my soul. Because I couldn't sleep. There was something going on. I don't know if it was an anxiety attack, but I couldn't rest. And I'm the kind of person that doesn't grunt out or say, ooh, I'm hurting. I just get quiet. But I couldn't sleep, and it was 4 in the morning. And when I told her, when she said, tell him yes, and I said yes, peace flooded me. Like somebody just inserted a salve in my soul, like oil to my heart. And I just had no more anxiety almost instantly. And I'm saying to you, if you resist God, knowingly or unknowingly, you're resisting the grace to move forward. But if you accept God, he's going to give you the grace to move forward. Even if people resist you, it won't hurt as much. Because you're yielding in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Verse 12, then the Spirit lifted me up, and I began to hear. Notice as the Spirit lifts the man, his ability, his audible opens up. And many of us want, you can be captive and still lifted. Let me say it again. You can be captive in your ankles based on circumstances, but lifted in your spirit. The Spirit lifted the man. He's still captive, but the Spirit lifted him, and he heard things that he wouldn't hear if he was still tied up to the chains and the fetters physically. He wouldn't be able to hear the thunderous voice of the Lord. But this is what really gets me, and I need to preach on it for a moment. After hearing all of that, the Bible says, so the Spirit lifted me up. It's not like he wasn't lifted up before. He was just lifted in verse number 12. This is just a reoccurring thing. But for some reason, this time, he resists the lifting of the Spirit and the move of the Spirit, which simply means he was comfortable with what he saw before. He was comfortable with the dimension that he was in before. And God is saying, okay, enough of that. I need to move you into another dimension. Like some people are comfortable with what God did at Truth Revealed. And they want to go back to what he did. But now he's lifting us up to understand what he's intending to do. And in this, you may not be champion in the new move or familiar with what he's trying to do. You got to learn the processes and the methods of God in the new dimension. But if you want to hold on to the past, you'll never be able to move forward in the Spirit. So he lifts him up again by the Spirit. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, verse 14, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. Now he's carrying me away from the familiar. And the Bible says, I went in bitterness, which means I was resisting the move. I was resisting the move. Most of us don't like for people to resist us, but we resist the move of God all the time. He can say, sow a seed. That ain't God. Unless he tell you to buy yourself a gift. That's God right there. I deserve it. Man, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. We got to get to a point that when he tell us, because see, devil ain't going to tell you to sow into the kingdom. Let me say it on this side because nobody over there is listening. The devil ain't going to tell you to sow into the kingdom. He ain't going to tell you to write a check. He ain't going to tell you to sow a seed in the ministry. He's not going to tell you to revive a first fruit. And that measure right there may be the thing that can lift the boulder off of your supply. If you could just hear God saying, do this or do that, and you obey him. You may get a boulder. Ooh, man, ooh, I don't want to preach it, but Jacob, when he saw Rebecca, when he saw Gloria, what's her name, Rebecca? Rachel. When he saw Rachel, the Bible said he looked at her like, man, she's fine. And she had a boulder on the well. The scripture says he got to the boulder. And he lifted the boulder off the well himself. Read it in the text. And let me tell you something that happened. If you ever get inspired, you will lift some stuff up that was hard for you. You will get some stuff out of the ground if you ever get motivated. And one of the reasons why you won't get with God is you're not motivated until somebody does something for you.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, don't resist the move. Visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
We invite you to join us for a joyous celebration of 30 years of steadfast faith and serving with unwavering devotion. Don't miss this opportunity to celebrate with us on Friday and Saturday, March 28th and 29th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, March 30th at 8 and 11 a.m. to experience inspiring services featuring heartfelt reflections on our global impact and the lives transformed over the past 3 decades. Help us honor this milestone and become a part of our legacy.
Connect your middle and high schoolers with their peers in a fun and high-energy environment where they can be mentored and grow together every Sunday at 11 a.m. Join the movement. Come thrive with us. If you are ready to share words of hope and healing and use your talents to bring great joy to many people, then the Nursing Home Ministry is looking for you. To get involved, email nursinghome@truthrevealed.org.
Ladies, remember to join Pastor Sabrina for Women's Sunday School in the Sanctuary at 10 a.m.
If you are ready to belong, grow, connect, and serve, new members' classes are still in session. Email connect@truthrevealed.org for a schedule of classes and how to get started.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Hi friends, Paul Esposito here from 91.5 FM WMIE and WWBC Radio. We are pleased to announce that our brand new apps have been released and are now available in the App Store for you to download. So search for WMIE as well as WWBC, and you can hear the awesome programming on these stations 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There also is a lot of programs available on demand. Some of the local programming here you now can hear on demand from your phone or tablet. So I encourage you, download these apps, WMIE and WWBC.